Politics is the art of looking for trouble, finding it everywhere, diagnosing it incorrectly, and applying the wrong remedies. And this week's opening quote comes from Groucho Marx. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. I've got an interesting show for you this evening, folks, a little bit out of the norm for what I do on the air. I'm actually interviewing someone today. This is an interview that was recorded yesterday, and the man I'm interviewing is a man called George Webb, and we are discussing the crimes of the Clinton Foundation. Now, recently you may have heard me discussing on air and on several interviews that I've done the need for people to go and look at a link on my website called Where is Eric Braverman? You can go to my website, thecrowhouse.com, and it's right there on the homepage, and that will take you to a collection of YouTube clips that have been uploaded by George Webb. And these clips are basically an investigation into the Clinton emails, the revelations, the incredible revelations that have come to light in the exposing of these emails. What we really see here, folks, is a criminal organization which is manufacturing war and has been manufacturing war for many years. We can place the entire situation in the Middle East on this same organization, and it goes back. There are ties to Haiti, ties to Kosovo, and it really goes back a long way. And there's a lot of researchers online that have been looking into this and investigating it, and a lot of the research has been compiled by George Webb and has been put on his YouTube channel. The YouTube channel is, of course, being subject to all sorts of problems. When he started doing the series on Where is Eric Braverman, who was a CEO from the Clinton Foundation, the first 52 days of videos were deleted from his YouTube channel one morning when he woke up, and he is currently having problems with his website and problems with his videos being truncated and all sorts of things. So it's an ongoing problem for him, and there is definitely an ongoing effort to quell this information and to stop it getting to the public and to present it to the world as being conspiracy theory. There's also been a huge effort that the media has undertaken to assure the people that they're not allowed to look at Hillary Clinton's emails. It is, in fact, a crime to look at Hillary Clinton's emails, and if we want to know what's in them, we have to wait until the media tells us. And that's what we're being told anyway, which is a pretty good indication of why you should go and look at these emails yourself, folks. I mean, if the media is telling you not to go there, then you definitely should go there. That's just the way they play things. And really, folks, the fact that the media is not addressing this information, is not talking about it on the TV, should show you just how complicit the media is in covering up these crimes. And that makes it very important for people to start reporting on this. It makes it very important for independent journalists such as myself, such as yourself, to start talking about this information. And maybe you're not an independent journalist. Maybe you're just someone who's listening to the radio show, sitting around the kitchen table, and enjoys sharing the information with your friends. Well, this is information that you really should share, because this is information that people can understand. The average man on the street can really understand what's going on here. People who don't have a conspiratorial mindset can look at this, and they can see that, hey, we've got a serious problem. There is a very, very serious, very bad, and very ruthless criminal element which has infiltrated into US politics and is in fact destabilizing not only the United States political system but also the world. And this is really what a lot of the wars that we're seeing are all about, folks. This is where it's come from. So it's incredibly important information, and it's extremely important that you share this knowledge and share this information with the people around you so that you can rout out this criminal element from your political system and get a little bit of control back in your country. I think that if enough people become aware of this information, you're going to see some pretty big changes happen pretty quickly in the United States. And if the United States changes for the better, then it's going to have a ripple effect, and you're going to see a lot of other countries falling into line behind it. Also, you're going to see a lot more people wanting to investigate what's going on in their own respective countries. You're going to see a lot more transparency introduced into the Western political system if this knowledge gains enough traction. It's important information, folks, so please share it. But without further ado, here is the interview with George Webb, which was recorded yesterday on the 5th of January 2017. and I hope you enjoy and share this information. So, George Webb, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks for having me on.
Tell me about this work. I mean, what you've done with this research, what really led to this? I mean, sure, people have been looking at the Clinton emails, but then you've uncovered this incredible network, which just shows exactly how government is run, shows about all the shady dealings that are going on behind the scenes. What led to all this? How did you sort of get to this position you're in now where you've sort of got this unraveling, it's almost like a spy novel that's unfolding every day. There's more and more information coming to light. It's exposing so much stuff. How did this all this come about that you're suddenly releasing these incredible videos? And by the way, I've been telling everybody that this is some of the most important research on the internet at the moment. I've got a big link on my homepage for people to check out these videos because this exposes the system in a way that people can understand. So how did it all start and how did you get to where we are now?
Well, I'm just a citizen like everyone else. I'm a citizen journalist with no training in journalism. But two key things kind of happened over the summer. And one was when the DNC leaks were coming out, and then this Seth Rich was shot in shady circumstances in the middle of the night in Washington, D.C. And that was unsettling. And then the second thing that happened was a guy named Sean Lucas sued the DNC because of some shady things that happened against Bernie Sanders that the DNC did against him. And then he ended up dying in very odd circumstances. And they're both young guys. One was 25 and the other guy was probably 32, something like that. And then the CEO of the Clinton Foundation, this guy named Eric Braverman, who had been there for about a year and a half. He came in about June 2013, and he was there a while, and it looked like he tried to change things but couldn't do it and then left in, let's say, 2015, early at the end of 2015. So he was there about a year and a half. Anyway, he goes missing, and there's rumors that he is fleeing to the Russian embassy. So we don't know if that's true or not, but it did have that kind of spy novel intrigue. It was like, is this another one, you know, and is he going to get away or not? And is he going to make it? And so it had a lot of drama, natural drama. And I just started following it after about 7 days, asking, where is Eric Braverman? That was the key of the whole series. And I've just kind of continued with that.
Yeah, well, you kind of wonder this. I mean, there's so many people sort of drop off around the Clintons. It's remarkable. You seem to have a very, very low life expectancy once you get involved in business with the Clintons. But and it was just Eric Braverman disappearing. You decide, well, what's going on with this? Is he going to be another statistic, or should I just keep an eye on this? And so you've been watching Eric Braverman, and it's led to just pouring through Hillary Clinton's emails and finding out all this other stuff that Eric Braverman seems to have been connected to and possible reasons why he may have fled.
Yeah, I can't remember the Greek fable or whatever of the thread, you know, that you just start pulling and then it tends to unravel the whole garment, you know.
Yeah.
You just pull on this thread of Eric Braverman, and then it just all the subterfuge and chicanery and machinations, you know, just keep coming every day. And I'm not trying to write a spy novel, but it does. A lot of people do say it has the feel of a spy novel because there are so many, kind of backdoor dealings and subterfuges going on. And you do have this solid base of evidence of these emails. And there are several different groups, not just with the Hillary emails, but then there's these Huma emails, and then there's these Petraeus emails, and then there's these Sid Blumenthal emails, and these are all people in the Clinton Foundation and connected to the Clinton Foundation. So every day something happens that reveals another piece of this puzzle. So some people have just liked following the series because it does have that quality. And then there's another group of people who really want to just like drain the swamp kind of thing and kind of want to force Trump's hand to make sure that this doesn't just go by the wayside and that it does, you know, the swamp really does get drained. And so they're kind of researchers. So they come to the site and they add just so much, reporting of sources and citations to really support, so that if Trump really did want to pursue it, he would have this case of just lots of sources and citations the first day to pursue a case.
Well, yeah, and that's the important thing as well. I mean, we do need to drain the swamp, and that's why this information is so important. And it is like a spy novel, because you've got more and more information coming every day. But what you've really uncovered with these emails, when you connect the dots, you've basically got the Clinton Foundation is basically a criminal organization which has been set up to overthrow countries independently of government. And it's got connections going to Haiti, through laundering through Haiti, through possibly human trafficking through Haiti. And you've even found connections going back as far as Kosovo and what happened back there with Hillary Clinton. I mean, this is phenomenal. When you look at the amount of war and destabilization we've seen around the world in the last, couple of decades, you can trace so much of this to Hillary Clinton. It's just phenomenal. And these emails expose the whole thing. And, like, people are expecting Trump to do something, but if he doesn't do something about this, I mean, it's really going to show his hand as well, because the information is so in your face here. It shows how the world is really run. It shows what governments are really doing, you know?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that Eric Braverman said, when he left the Clinton Foundation, and the Hillary email thing was starting to be exposed in March or April of 2015. He went to the press to try to, because you can just kind of see he's an ethical person. And he goes to the press and he says, follow the money. Follow the money, and that'll lead you to, the secret of the Clinton Foundation. So follow these donations. And that is really all I've done. And it is led to following arms deals. Hillary was involved in a lot of the Senate Arms Service Committee in the U.S. here. Kind of the Senate, the John McCain's and the Lindsey Graham's, getting in all these arms deals. And then you follow the money in terms of the oil deals. So the Senate Foreign Relations Committee is involved in all these oil plays. So you have Joe Biden with his son over here in the Ukraine, and you've got, a lot of Rupert Murdoch and Larry Summers and all these other cronies kind of in off the coast of Syria, with a company called Genie Energy. And you find all these things that are just below the surface. But if you follow the money and you bring them to the surface, everything becomes clear. And that's the part of the series that I enjoy, is it makes these things that were so difficult to understand before, you just bring it to the surface. It's just very simple and straightforward to understand.
Yeah, and you see that all of these people have been tied up in subsidiary companies, and it's all set up. There's a whole web. There's a whole network set up, and all of the main players in politics and in military seem to have shares in these companies, which make enormous amount of profits from selling parts and little gadgets and gizmos and details and things that you need for warplanes and tanks and whatever. So the whole thing is set up to manufacture war and to keep it going, and that seems to be the main function of government. And look, even with these gas attacks, and when you look at what's really going on through Syria, this whole thing has been about really building a pipeline from Qatar through to Bulgaria or something like that. I mean, and there's been so many reporters that have reported this pipeline is going through in this big conflict, which is apparently a ragtag group of ISIS terrorists which are rampaging across Syria. So what's really going on in the ground in Syria? Because it's not anything that we're being told. I mean, how can you build a pipeline through a war zone if it's actually a war zone like we're being told,
Yeah. Well, and see, the first objective of using the sarin gas attacks was to clear what they call a rat line. And the rat line is, and this was reported by some great journalists. Serena Shim was one of them that I followed. But they carry little 25-gallon cans of oil to these trucks, and they load the trucks up, and the trucks go one way, and then they come back with guns. So oil in one direction, just, rat line, and then guns in the other. And that was, kind of what Putin came in and started bombing those oil convoys. And, you know, how the U.S. could have missed this. You know, these oil facilities are huge. You know, these oil tank reservoirs are, you know, you could have hit them in, you know, World War One with hand-thrown bombs. You know? So it strains the imagination that the U.S. wasn't complicit in this rat line. But the idea was, if we overthrow, we need to overthrow Assad so that we can sell off these oil rights off the Golan Heights, oil and gas, just like Libya, which had a lot of oil. And the interesting thing, the spy novel interest in Libya is that Gaddafi was trying to build a gold-backed African currency. So he was having people whisper in his ear saying, hey, take all the money that you've accumulated from all this oil trade that you've done, and convert it to gold and start a gold reserve bank. So there may be, you know, I show on my site or in citations that there's $9 billion that Sid Blumenthal tells Hillary about, $9 billion in gold. But there are estimates of up to $100 billion stored all over Africa. And there's this battle going on between the MI6 from England and the French intelligence on one side and CIA and Hillary on the other side to find the gold. So it has a little bit of that as well, you know, kind of the Bourne Identity thriller nature to it as well. And we still don't know if that gold has been found or not.
And that's the thing. There's all these different factions at play here as well. I mean, even when you look at the war in Syria and what's going on in the Middle East, so many people blame the U.S. for this, saying, oh, this is a U.S.-backed covert invasion of this mercenary force that's gone in there. But really, it seems to have been done independent of government. You've got to wonder how much the United States government really had to do with this invasion and whether it was simply damage control, you know, the way they had to play it to try to cover up the swamp. You know, because if this swamp is exposed, I mean, it's going to bring down the entire U.S. government. And that's the beauty of Trump coming in now, because he's in a unique position being a businessman with no political history. He could actually drain the swamp and America could save face if he does it in the right way. And that's why I think this is so important, that this information has come out now and why we push it so hard. But you've got to wonder how much the actual government of the United States has really been involved in what's gone on in Syria and in Libya, because they've kind of been pushed into it. And you've got to wonder why they haven't seen it. I mean, why they wouldn't investigate a little bit further. But you've got to wonder how much has been the government's hand and how much has been people working below the surface to push them into this situation.
Well, the beauty of what my little project is doing on YouTube is, it's not my research, it's these other folks, these contributors that come in and actually pinpoint the actual emails, so you can actually connect the dots. I mean, it's not a news article, it's the people writing in their own hand. So, for instance, you can see the names of the projects. You know, Zero Footprint was the kind of the operational plan to take over Libya. And then Timber Sycamore was the name to take over Syria. And, you know, there's been reporting from the New York Times on both of those. And then there's Seymour Hersh, you know, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist that's talked about the sarin gas coming from Libya to Syria. So a lot of connected dots with emails, you know, with Obama kind of signing off on these two projects, but not signing off on the gas, on the sarin gas part of it. And so you can see the Turks trying to push him into bombing. You know, you said this red line, you said you would bomb if they used gas, and,
exactly.
And the Turks are coming in. And Obama is saying, hey, no, I'm not going to do it, you know. And so it's kind of Obama's shining moment where he says, no, you will not push me into this. So the details are actually emerging, and I think this is important for the world to know, and important for history to see actually what the truth is. And like I said, in the strength of my presentation is in the citations and the sources, because you can actually see the physical email that people wrote.
Mm. The really noticeable thing about this for me is how this is progressing as a business. You know, it's a business, of course. It's about, you know, obtaining resources and milking the wealth out of countries. But the sheer complete and utter disregard for human life that happens along the way here, And the human harvest that happens along the way is something I've been mentioning on shows recently. You know, people have to understand that when you have a war, when you go into a country, you go into a village or a town, the first thing that happens is they usually round up all the women and children and ship them off somewhere, keep some there as human shields or whatever. But this is a harvest that takes place. They don't just kill everybody. These people are a resource, and these resources are being shipped out. And the sheer brutality, using sarin gas to clear away for a pipeline. And when you look at what's going on with the United States and the amount of tension that's going on there with the government, you've got to wonder, would someone like Hillary Clinton use this sort of method against their own people in America? I mean, she's prepared to do it overseas. They're prepared to do what looks like a tactical nuke in Haiti to create that earthquake to release all the oil. It's very doubtful that that was a real earthquake. And this has been shown by your research as well. So you've got to wonder how far is this woman prepared to go if she's backed into a corner?
Yeah, you make a good point, because with the sanctuary cities, and then, you know, you have 20,000 stingers there in Libya, and then only 2,000 have been recovered. So that's 18,000 somewhere. And some Soros emails, Soros to Hillary emails, talked about the overthrow of Albania. So some of the stingers went to Albania. Some of them went to Boko Haram because of the Nigerian Air Force was going to get some planes, and so they thought Boko Haram needed some. But that still leaves about 15,000.
That's a lot of stingers.
There are reports. That's a lot of stingers.
That's a lot of stingers, yeah.
There's reports of over the New Mexican border and over the Arizona border of ISIS training camps. So, you know, people shooting at targets and the white plume and the whole bit. So if those have been pre-positioned in Chicago, in San Francisco, Los Angeles, you know, key cities, Seattle, that are sanctuary cities, you could have a situation where you have one or two planes shot down, and then you have a La Raza, which is the political arm of the Sinaloa drug cartel, asking for a ransom. You know, otherwise we'll shut down everything coming in and out of O'Hare. I don't mean to be, you know, dramatic, but that is a real possibility.
Well, that's a possibility. You say there's ISIS training camps in Arizona. What do you mean by this? Is this official? There's ISIS training camps in Arizona?
Just over the border. And it's in my citations and, you know, the photos and everything. So again, these are things that researchers provide to me. I'm not.
These, of course, aren't called ISIS training camps, I would imagine. What are these areas called?
Well, what they've done is they have people on the ground, reporters and so forth, that say, okay, we have influx from Syrian refugees into these, you know, areas. They're doing things at this ranch that seem to be, you know, kind of like a, you know,
terror related or something.
Counterinsurgency type things. And so weapons going off.
They'll tell you about that on the news, and then they'll go and raid somebody's house because he's got an unlicensed gun. They'll call it anti-terrorism. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? They can just have the reporters go in there with the cameras saying, we're filming this ISIS training camp that we think they're planning all this terrorism, but we're not really doing anything about it. That's great the way they do this, the way they set these memes up in the public mind, you know. As if. Yeah. I mean, unreal. But continue, please.
Well,
but it's been such a convoluted thing. You know, it doesn't surprise me at all, but please continue.
Well, I put it out there on the show just to mention it so that there's a heightened sense of awareness. If it's true, then good for, you know, national security. If it's not true, then fine. I'm not saying the Mexican people are bad people. I speak Spanish. I've gone to Mexico a lot of times. I love the Mexican people. I'm talking about the element that may, you know, choose to be a terrorist element. Hillary hired a terrorist element, the Muslim Brotherhood, to try to overthrow three different countries. And the plan, operational plan, is seven different countries, and there are 32 different countries that Muslim Brotherhood is in. So I'm not, you know, I didn't dream this up on my own one day just to go get Hillary, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just sounding the alarm bell, you know, that's all. Yeah.
No, good on you. But it's been such a convoluted web. What do you think we can do about this? What do you think is going to come of it? Do you think Trump will actually do anything about this?
Well, Trump's a wild card, and I saw some of your great videos on this, and you know, it's amazing the perception that someone in Australia has of American politics, because it's spot on. Everyone's wondering what Trump's going to do. Up until today, I thought he just was going to do the billionaire cabinet and the oil cabinet, big oil type cabinet. And that has its benefits, I think. But then he did name somebody today, a guy named Dan Burton, who actually did the prosecution into the Mark Rich pardon. Mark Rich, if people don't know who this is the guy who bought Gaddafi's oil and sold it on the spot market and made Gaddafi all these billions of dollars, and also made a lot of money for, you know, I'm wannabe Israeli. So, you know, he made a lot of money for the state of Israel. Let's just put it that way. And I know, you know, Zionism and all that, but he did. And, so Dan Burton is going to be able to drill down, on the situation as a national security advisor. So up until today, I would have said Trump's going to just sweep it under the rug. But today, with Dan Burton, I think maybe there's a hope that Trump drills down.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping with the amount of public pressure that we're seeing, look, with things like Pizzagate coming to light, I mean, I know there's been a huge psychological operation that's happened with that, but it has exposed that this global child trafficking network is real. And with what's been exposed through these Clinton emails and what's been exposed that the Clinton Foundation's up to, I think he's getting pushed into a position where if he wants to maintain any face at all, he's going to have to do something, because otherwise there's going to be some sort of revolution or something, because I think too many people are going to be let down if he doesn't do something. It's becoming pretty obvious now that the world is run by this criminal cabal. I mean, what we see with the Clinton Foundation, this is just Hillary Clinton, this is just her foundation. All of these governments work in collusion. All of these politicians have their own foundations. I bet if we started looking into all of them, we're going to find all sorts of weird dealings going on. So hopefully Trump's getting pushed into a position where he has to act, and that is my great hope.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, the thing that I didn't realize right away is I was really focused on the oil deals and I was focused on the arms deals. But if you look at the child trafficking, there was a reporter from Canada, her name's Ava Bartlett, and she started doing this great reporting, as well as this Serena Shim. Serena Shim, unfortunately, was murdered by the Turkish intelligence, but Ava Bartlett's still reporting, and they're saying, hey, these white helmets that you see in Syria that are going in and pulling kids out of the dust and so forth and collapse buildings during the day are doing great things, and they're on CNN. But at night, there's a different group of guys with the full beards, you know, and the whole, you know, with ISIS cell phone and so forth, and they're taking kids out, and they're never seen again. They're putting them in these little orphanages. And if you think about the child trafficking, it's much more valuable, a child, to sell to, like, a Middle East sheikh than a 25-gallon carrier of oil. I mean, you know, they're going to pay a lot more for the child. So, and that's going to be called a marriage. So I think this child trafficking thing that you hit on, is absolutely true. And it's almost the first resource that folks are going after when they do these land clearing operations.
It is the first resource that they go after. You don't want to damage the women and children. They're worth too much money. And like we've identified that there's around 8 million children being trafficked around the world every year. They disappear every year. A lot of these come from war zones. A lot of them come from surrogate situations in the Philippines and stuff. But that's the first thing they do. When you go in there, you clear out what you know, the valuable human resources, and then you go for all the other stuff. And this all seems to be tied together. And when you see that this does happen, this is the first step in going into a war zone, you begin to see why there's so much war. And when you look at the ties of the Clinton Foundation and you look at how many people are involved in these subsidiary companies just manufacturing parts for the F-35, for example, you begin to see why there is so much war and why it will never stop until we call it for what it is. And hopefully we can push Trump into doing that. I mean, like I said, he is a wild card. He's very likely a player. He could go the same way as Hillary Clinton, the same way as George Bush, the same way as any of them, but he's in a unique position that he's a businessman and he has no political history. So he can make that change if he's pressured enough to do it. So I think we're going to see this unfold pretty quickly when he takes office. it's my great hope that that it will happen. But look, I think we're heading for a break now, so we'll take a break now. I'm speaking here with George Webb today, folks. We'll have a break and we'll come back in a few minutes. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company here on the show. And I'll speak to you again in a little while. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here having a conversation with George Webb. We are discussing the criminal cabal, the hidden criminal cabal, which is actually what the Clinton Foundation really is. The Clinton Foundation appears to be doing all sorts of damage around this planet. And the blood on Hillary Clinton's hands is almost unmeasurable, folks. When you look at the amount of wars we've had in the last few years, a lot of this can be, you know, squarely laid in the hands of Hillary Clinton. I mean, of course, there are other factors as well, but Hillary has certainly done a good deal of damage. It would seem that it's mostly coming from Hillary, though, George. It doesn't seem to be that it's coming from Bill that much. I think Bill's too busy playing saxophone and chasing young women around. But it seems to be that Hillary is the one who really has her hands in the fire here.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things I learned about was through Madeleine Albright. So she was with the Clintons, with Bill Clinton administration, as the ambassador to the UN from 1993 to 1996. But then she was the Secretary of State from 96 to 2001 with Bill Clinton. And I've learned how closely Hillary had mind-melded with her. She was almost the shadow Secretary of State at that time. So all the machinations that came out of Kosovo and Croatia and, you know, Montenegro and all the splitting and balkanization of Yugoslavia just really had kind of Hillary's fingerprints on it. That's where she got that taste of blood. That's one thing I've learned about it. And so everything since then, you know, when she became a senator and got on the Senate Arms Committee, was kind of a continuation. Now, I'll flip that and say, in her defense, she wasn't the first person to use Stinger missiles and give them to the Mujahideen, for instance. That was done by Zbigniew Brzezinski. So she just basically turned the volume up. She turned the volume up and said, okay, well, I'm going to give it to the Muslim Brotherhood, and we're going to do 32 countries, and I'm not going to keep track of where they go. Where Brzezinski said, okay, I'm going to just keep this tightly controlled in Afghanistan. And Brzezinski was trying to drain the Soviet Union, and it worked. And it caused the collapse. A 10-year war caused the collapse of the Soviet Union. Hillary has no, you know, geopolitical chessboard ambitions. Her ambition is the gold, you know, here, the oil, you know, over there. It has nothing to do with, you know, some geopolitical game with Russia. It's just a resources play.
Yeah, we can just put these terrorists anywhere we need them to be, and if we see something there we want, we can get them to create a little bit of instability so we can go in to save the people. That seems to be the standard MO with what Clinton's doing. But she set this up now so she can basically do this. She doesn't even have to be in government to go and destabilize countries. She set all this up while she was in the State Department.
The point I make over and over again is all this happened completely outside the State Department, completely outside the CIA. The Delta Force team that was hired with General Grange was completely a contractor, a mercenary force. They had the, you know, the night goggles and the laser binoculars to be able to paint targets for the NATO bombers. So you do need a NATO play, but you don't need to involve the U.S. Forces and so forth. And all you really need is a Tony Blair and a couple of other people in the EU to pass the agenda. And so it's a very dangerous situation even now, because she still has the goods on all these NATO people. I don't know if people remember Valerie Plame and Joe Wilson, but Valerie Plame was the person that you know, was kind of saying there was no weapons of mass destruction, you know, when George Bush was trying to make a case for the Gulf War. Well, before that, that was 2003. Before that, from 96 to 2001, she was the Mata Hari of NATO. She was setting up all these parties, and they were trying to get these generals to, you know, be in a compromised position over a period of time. to try to get them involved in what's known as a brownstone operation. A brownstone operation is where you have, you know, 12 low light cameras and you film, you know, the general having sex with somebody they shouldn't be having sex with, either a 12-year-old girl or better yet, a 12-year-old boy. And so you can use that. That's the gift that keeps on giving. You know, when it comes time for, you know, a NATO airstrike to come up, you just remind people, you send them a picture of the room, you know, with the Podesta, you know, weird art or whatever. Just send them a picture right before the big vote. And you, voila, you get a NATO airstrike out of the deal. And so that's the whole, part of the equation that people don't understand, that there's leverage on these folks and there's blackmail being used. And it's a very standard CIA operation called a brownstone operation.
Yeah, that's something that I've been suggesting to people as well. That's why we don't get any response from so many politicians and even from so many law enforcement officials and judges and things that are, you know, kind of high ranking in the system, is because there's dirt on all these people. There is quite literally a shadow world that exists behind this world, which I just call it a people farm, basically. There's this secret society that exists behind this society, which is farming this species, and that's what's happening. That's what all this human harvest is about. That's what harvesting our time is all about, harvesting our resources, keeping us running on a treadmill and running between the lines. But this is so important. I mean, how important do you think it is that people really look at this Clinton information, the depth of corruption that we see in government? I mean, it's all here in these emails. I think it's incredibly important that people look at this. And what do you think we can do to get this out to a wider audience and get the media to start paying attention to it?
Well, there's a trove, you know, Trump called it the treasure trove of 650,000 emails that Huma had. This is going to be the 14 different State Department Gmail accounts that you're going to cover everything from the Iran hostage nuclear deal to Libya, Syria, you know, the Turkish coup, you know, everything. What Hillary did was she moved tranches, you know, bunches or slices of emails to her server in New York, and then she would have these Chinese hack into it, or she'd have whoever she was selling the classified information hack into it, and then she'd, you know, quickly remove the server. So she kind of had the staging server up in upstate New York, and then the main server was down in Brooklyn with the Clinton Foundation, or I'm sorry, Fifth Avenue. The key to the whole case is the 650,000 emails, because that will expose the whole thing, and Trump cannot ignore that. I mean, the thing it exposes, not only the connections, but all the smoking guns. You know, I have an email already that you'll see in my presentation where you have Sid Blumenthal from the Clinton Foundation saying, General Grange has a plan to take Tripoli, you know, by, you know, in 30 days. I mean, it's, you know, and please, and then to the CIA chiefs, please send me the plan to topple Libya. You know, I mean, you cannot argue with this. It's incontrovertible evidence. And so I think it's this evidence-based approach is the best way. You know, sunshine is the best disinfectant, as Hillary would say, and produce these emails. Now that the FBI has said we need 5 years to review these emails. And even though in 9 days they went through supposedly a cursory investigation, the pressure needs to be put on the FBI to produce these emails. Now, they just produced 371 of these emails to give us a taste, to try to say, oh, look the other way. There's really nothing to see here, folks. Keep moving, keep moving. But even in that, they gave away some more secrets of what's actually going on. The people have a right to know what their government is doing. That's why we have a Federal Records Act in the United States. Everything you do as a servant of the government needs to be recorded and recallable by people, by any citizen. And that's really what we need to do, is have the pressure, keep on these pressure on these public officials to produce these emails. And once they have the emails, it'll all unfold.
Well, yeah, exactly, because this is not just a scandal. This is major criminal activity. This is treason. This is breaches of national security. This is giving away state secrets or ensuring that state secrets can be stolen. This is treason of the highest order. It really is. I mean, through these emails, I've often said that Hillary Clinton is a career criminal, and through these emails, it's been shown that she is. I mean, I suggested on my last radio show that she's arrested. Every associate of the Hillary Clinton Foundation should have their assets frozen and should be investigated immediately. And the people of the United States really need to stand up and demand this, because your country is run by criminals. This crime cabal, which is milking you of your wealth and sending all the money overseas to finance all these contrived wars, and then funneling all the money from these wars back to people like the Clinton Foundation. This is absolutely, it's incredible. It's absolutely amazing that this is happening. And it's important. It's really important. How can you expect to have a country with a viable government of any kind at all if this is just allowed to go, you know, uninvestigated and unnoticed, and they get pardoned or whatever happens, you know? I mean, how can Trump even expect to run a country or have any type of control over the government at all when you've got this den of vipers that exist within government, which is going to undermine every single effort that he makes? You know, it's incredibly important that this be looked at. And everybody who listens to this show, everybody who has looked at this information, where is Eric Braverman, these videos, you can go to my website, thecrowhouse.com. You'll see a big link right there on the homepage. I've been adding every video to it daily. And I urge you also to download these videos and keep them. I mean, keep the information there for you, because who knows how long before it's deleted. But we've got to get this out to as many people as possible, because like you say, it is evidence-based approach. It isn't theory. This isn't, you know, conspiracy theory. We're not talking about the Illuminati hiding in a secret tower. This is a woman that has been working in government, which has actively worked to sell state secrets and undermine country after country after country, as well as destabilize the United States. And I think she's a threat to the entire world. The Clinton Foundation and foundations like it, and those people associated with the Clinton Foundation, all need to be investigated, because they are all causing the global situation that we're now in. So, important stuff,
you know,
man. Very
U.S.
important stuff.
Absolutely. You know, the U.S. went through one other period like this where we actually, showed the spotlight on this, and that was the Church Committee in the late 70s, or mid-70s, 75, 76. And the Church Committee actually went through and investigated, all these CIA folks and FBI folks. And what ended up happening, was a lot of rules being rewritten, and we kind of got clean for, you know, it's kind of like a drug addict getting off drugs. And, you know, we kind of got clean until about 1984, and Ollie North comes back in and we get back on the habit. And it's just one of those things where if you don't do the house cleaning, the situation doesn't get better. If you have a criminal enterprise that's working in Queensland even, or you know what I'm saying, and if you let it go, it's going to go down to New South Wales, and then it'll be in Victoria not too long after that if you keep letting it go. It's just one of those cancerous kind of things. Well, it's the same thing in the U.S. And that's the Clinton Foundation. It's this malignancy that if you don't cut the cancer out, it just gets worse, and people have just kept sweeping it under the rug. And so that's what we really need, is just kind of this, rescission of the whole thing, as you say, and investigate the whole thing. And the emails are the key. I don't even want to see Hillary necessarily go to jail as much as I want to see the emails, so that everyone can see the actual truth around the world. And then,
I'd like to see the wars stop, and I think that would be a good step towards global peace, exposing all of this. I mean, whatever happens to her, sometimes I just think she deserves to be hung, but, do I want to see that? And I don't want to see anyone hung, but you get angry enough. You know, the problem is that what they did, like after the Church Commissioner and all that, what they did was they went in, okay, we can't let that happen again. We've got to put in all these laws to control the media and gag whistleblowers. And it's got to the point now where it's virtually illegal to report a crime if that crime is committed by government. How do we get to that position? I mean, we've really got to look at this, and this is such a good opportunity. I mean, I've got so much respect for what you've done with this research and those contributors that are helping you with it and your presentations and the way you presented this to everybody. But it clearly shows the need for the American people to stand up and call this out. You know, the crime and the corruption in the US government is absolutely out of control. And no leader, no politician that you vote into any position in your government can hope to make any change at all or bring about any positive situation for the country or the world until this cancer is cut out. And so it is extremely important that people share this information, I think. And what do you think is coming up next? I mean, you're still going through the emails. Is there much more to uncover, or you think we've got the gist of it here?
No, there's lots of active federal information requests, the FOIA requests. So there's a group called Judicial Watch, and they have a case going. And every one of these emails that Hillary sends, there's a corresponding party on the other side. So you can FOIA the other side if they are a government entity. So it's, for instance, David Petraeus was a general at CENTCOM, which is the Central Command for the Middle East all the way to Afghanistan. He has 1,000 emails back and forth to Hillary that they're suppressing, and 30 of them answer to the search term Benghazi. So if those become available, here again we go to that golden thread. You just keep pulling that golden thread, and more things become exposed. The pressure points that I would encourage everybody to look at is, here we have in our government the Oversight Committee for the Senate, and we have an Oversight Committee in the House. And the House has been the most active, and we have a guy named Jason Chaffetz and then a guy named Trey Gowdy, who are two representatives, one from South Carolina and one from Utah. And they're the ones that have been kind of pushing, saying, hey, this is the law. Federal Records Act, you need to produce these emails. They started with this in December of 2012. So here we are 5 years later, and Hillary still has not produced the emails, the original request. So they are the ones that the public needs to put pressure on to say, do not drop this. Do not drop this, because when this becomes to light, it will really answer that question. It'll be like the Pentagon Papers. Everyone said, the U.S. is doing all these good things. And then we got the Pentagon Papers and said, oh, my God, what have we been doing, for all these years, for this 12-year war? And it's the corollary is very close, I would say, to Vietnam in this situation. Yeah. Or worse.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's incredibly important people make this as public as possible and put pressure on everyone they can. This has got to be investigated. This has got to come to light. So I suppose the other question that we need to ask is, where do you think Eric Braverman actually is?
Well, good question. It turns out that maybe a week ago, it's what's called an email receipt. So there's a way of sending an email that you can see if the person opened the email through a special program that I'm not exactly familiar with all the details, but he actually received that email, and it was on one of those Wi-Fi, they did the trace the IP address, and it was on one of those plane flights. And the original location answered to an FBI location in Louisiana, southern United States. So the plot thickens, right? Where is he really? Who knows? He's on a plane,
Was that an FBI agent who's monitoring his email? I mean,
We don't know. We don't know if he's in custody. We don't know if he's in Israel. We don't know if he's in, Seal Island, Georgia. It's a mystery, and we'll just keep going at it every day.
Okay. Have you got a website that people can go to get all this information in one package?
I did, and it is being blocked, and I have had a lot of trouble with also videos being chopped. I'll put a video out now, and they've started chopping it, and it'll be 6 minutes on, 6 minutes to 12 minutes, so it won't make sense. So I don't really have an email I can send people to, right, a website, because it's kind of being blocked.
Somehow that just doesn't surprise me, George, that they would be blocking this. Why ever would they be blocking this or truncating your videos? That doesn't make sense, does it?
No, and I've had many interviews with the calls dropping and so forth, but I don't want to get, you know, too paranoid about it. But if people just go to George Webb and just search George Webb with two B's and then YouTube, it'll be there. And you'll see a very robust community of people making comments. And I call it a family puzzle. You know, it's not something that everybody, you don't have to get totally into the depths. You can just take two people, you know, you can say, you know, pick a person of your choice in this drama and then Clinton Foundation and do a Google search and see what you come up with and send me the link. And, you know, it's a family puzzle. Everybody can play.
Good stuff. Well, I love your work, brother. I think you've made a fantastic contribution, and I urge everybody to go and look at this. Like I said, you can go to my website. It's right there. Where is Eric Braverman? Or just go on YouTube and search for George Webb, two B's, or search for Where is Eric Braverman, and have a look at these videos. It really is compelling research. So thanks very much for coming on the show, brother. It's a pleasure to talk to you. And as the research unfolds, I'll try to get you back on a little bit later. We can figure out where it's going from here.
All right. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Okay. Not a problem. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And so that was my discussion with George Webb yesterday. And the information that he has presented is truly compelling, folks. It really is. And there's so much more we could have covered in the interview. But he's actually done about 30 videos on the topic. And it's all there on the playlist on the website, or you can find it on YouTube as well. It's just so difficult to cover all of it because the spider web is so convoluted and goes in so many directions, and there's just so many people involved. And it goes way back, as we mentioned during the show there, it goes way back to Kosovo, Haiti's involved, human trafficking is involved, the Muslim Brotherhood is involved. There's so much involved in this, folks. So I do urge people to go and check out those videos. Would have actually put a couple more minutes of interview on there, but I didn't get my times right with the recording, and so I ended up a couple of minutes short. So you have me coming in here and talking to you at the end of the show, not really saying much. But that's the way it is when I interview people, folks. I'm not really much of an interviewer. I don't interview people very much. I don't really know the right questions to ask. I just try to have a conversation and see where it goes. But I really don't think I'm the one who should be interviewing people, because I don't consider myself to be very good at it. But I hope you did get something out of the interview anyway, and I hope you did get something out of the show, and I do urge you to go and look at this information. It's extremely important that we get this out to the public. It's extremely important that we put pressure on the Trump administration to make sure the Clinton Foundation is investigated, and it's important for every citizen of the United States out there, and indeed every citizen of the world. I mean, if you want to have a country that is viable and functions properly, you simply cannot have this type of criminal element involved in government. And when you look at what's been done with the Clinton Foundation, how we discussed, she can overthrow countries now. She doesn't even have to be involved in government. And all of the stuff that she's done recently, she hasn't been involved in government to do it. It's just been done. She hasn't needed to be involved in government. So it needs to be exposed, folks. People need to see what's going on. They need to see how they're being played. And nobody out there can expect to have any type of honesty or any type of decency or integrity in their life while we have this sort of criminal element that is involved in government and is involved in how the world is run. We're never going to get anywhere while we allow these wars to continue, folks. And all of these wars have been manufactured, all of them being contrived, and all of this can be seen via their own emails where they show us exactly what they're doing, folks. So it's incredibly important that people get this information out to people. But that is it for me, folks. We are now completely out of time. Thank you to anybody who supports the website. Thank you to all the contributors to the Patreon account. It's the only thing that keeps me going, folks. So if you can afford a couple of dollars a month, it would really help things. If enough people can do it, maybe I can actually get some assistance of some kind. But thank you to all those who do help support the website. Thank you to those who continue to listen to the show. Thank you to those who send me all their kind emails. It's always a pleasure to come and talk to you. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.